Bigger life, smaller body. You're listening to the Conscious Weight Loss Podcast with Katherine Brown, master level coach, writer, and your voice of clarity on weight loss.
I'm Coach Kath, and we're here to help you end your binge eating, food addiction, body image, and self-sabotage issues naturally. Your evolution begins now. Hello, beautifuls. It's Coach Kath with my co-host, Coach Kelly, and we have a delicious topic to share with you today. The Conscious Weight Loss Podcast is the companion podcast to the Wisdom Bites blog. You'll find it at consciousweightloss.com. And you can also go to the blog directly at wisdombites.com. There you can get the full context of the topic we're discussing today, which is core values. The Wisdom Bite quote is, "Am I normal? Am I unique? We want to be both." Kelly, what are your thoughts on that?
The word normal jumps out at me. It just reminds me of times when I've looked at my family and friends and thought to myself, are they normal? Am I normal? Is this behavior normal? I don't know.
Right, because we're kind of enclosed in our family of origin, right? And at some point you start to get outside of that and see how everyone else lives. Being normal doesn't preclude being unique, by the way. Our struggles, normal. Our gifts and talents, unique. That's where we're coming from. What we want to talk about with these core values is to help people understand that in any given time in our lives, we are trying to get our needs met. And we typically think of our needs in terms of quite fundamental, basic physiology, sleep, hunger, thirst, that kind of thing. But really at a fundamental level, we also have this need to fit in, to belong, to feel normal in that sense. And if we don't, we'll experience rejection. You know, it could be real or perceived. It ends up being a very painful and memorable experience. So they'll come up with coping mechanisms, or they'll create a mask to satisfy how someone sees them in that moment so they can fit in. So we kind of turn ourselves into a pretzel to fit in and be normal.
I can relate to that.
What we want to do is we acknowledge that it's meeting that need is fundamental to our sense of well-being. But then there's also this whole level of needs related to the soul. That is where our sense of purpose resides. And we need to know ourselves at a deep, deep level in order to align with that purpose and express that in this lifetime and feel that sense of satisfaction and fulfillment. Because when you're feeling fulfillment, you're not reaching for food, frankly. So we have been on our own meandering odysseys, and those have been shaping and forming us. And we've come to see those as opportunities to reveal our gifts and talents to ourselves. So we see that as part of the journey, but we want other people to understand too that there are going to be tests, there are going to be trials that you're going to have to navigate. But each one, if you do it with a sense of compassionate witnessing and ultimately a sense of really getting to know yourself at a deeper level with every experience, then you're going to have an opportunity to see that shaping and forming and that revealing of your gifts and talents as well. It's part of the journey. You don't just pluck them out of the air. They are literally forged through your experiences. Kelly, why don't you share an early realization that you had of feeling normal?
Again, it relates to family events that I would go to. And I'm a watcher. I like to people watch. And just observing, maybe I should call it an observer, observing friends and family and how they behave in social situations and comparing it to myself. Because I, years ago, felt very socially awkward and I would consider myself an introvert. That's what I would do. I would just watch to see how these other people that I felt were extroverts and had something I wanted, just to see that, you know what, they struggled with kind of the same things I did. It made me realize, okay, maybe I'm not so abnormal. This feeling I have is
I belong to the human race.
Yes.
Yes. Well, my story has to do with my brother. I love him dearly. We have very little in common, but he was mercilessly bullied in high school, unfortunately. And I was witness to that. Here's a young man who was not accepted, was not made to feel normal. Gosh, I remember him coming home. He was a year ahead of me. So he came home from high school one day with a broken nose. And I was in grade 7. I still hadn't gone to high school yet. That was for me next year. I thought, well, if this is high school, I quit now. But what I ended up doing is creating a coping mechanism when I got there, I joined the band. I thought, well, I'll learn how to play saxophone. We'll hang out. We had our own room. We had our own tribe. And we even had t-shirts that said, it's okay, I'm with the band. I didn't experience high school the way he did. But it really, it was a coping mechanism, a very brilliant coping mechanism and elaborate, frankly, because who would want to learn to play music scales just to fit in? But it worked for me. It got me through high school because I really didn't have to be exposed to a lot of that stuff. What's a gift or talent, Kelly, that others have recognized in you? And I say others because gifts and talents are so innate for us that often we don't even see them as anything special. But if we hear it mirrored back to us enough times, we start to recognize, oh, wait a minute, there's something in here. So what's a gift or talent that you've had mirrored back to you or people have recognized in you?
I would say being a good listener and getting to know people on a deeper level. That's probably one of my biggest gifts. Because when I ask someone how they are, I truly want to know. Mm-hmm. And I love listening to people's stories. To me, that's how you get to know someone on that deeper level. I struggle with a surface level conversation because that's not what I want. That's not what fulfills me. I don't want to talk about the weather.
And as a personal trainer, you found that a lot of your sessions, the first part of it was literally sitting down and having those deep conversations before you got into any kind of movement with the person, right?
Yeah, that's definitely how it begins. I need to know about them, their struggles. It's not just, okay, I'm meeting you for the first time, let's get started. It's not just about their medical history either. Of course, that's important. But there's so much more about their story that I need to know.
I love that word, the story. Everybody has a backstory. And every one of us is fascinating in our own way. And that's the thing I love about the work that we do, is that we get to be fascinated in the people that we work with.
Right. And I just, over the years, learned I am a good listener and I truly sit there. I don't need to interject all the time. I really listen to people and listen to the body language even and the facial expressions and take it all in.
Well, I have learned that one of my gifts and talents is putting words to people's experiences. And you even told me that at one point, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
I probably was coaching. I mean, I've been coaching for 20 years now, but I was still coaching for several years before I started to see myself as a writer. It took a while of people reflecting back to me the phrases or comments that I would come up with, the way I would distill information. And it took me a while to see that as a skill of a writer. And the irony of it is I did this naturally as a child. I literally, in grade school, I would write sitcom episodes. I just did it for the pure love and enjoyment of it. And that's a good indication too of some values at work very early on in our lives where there's something that we did just for the fun of it. Mm-hmm. And the sad part is I could draw as well, so that a lot of people would see the drawing and they'd encourage me on that. And I got into graphic design and stuff. So I didn't follow the path of writing. I actually went way out of alignment with it. And it wasn't until I was an adult and became a coach and started to write about my experiences. And then I thought, wait a minute, maybe I was a writer all along. Wait a minute, I forgot that I was a writer. So that can be the journey back. That's why we call this a meandering odyssey. What we like to say here at Conscious Weight Loss is your authentic self, who you are at your core, has no need for excess weight. Think about that for a second. When you are truly authentic, living the life that you're destined to live, aligned with your core values, there is no excess weight on your body. Now, full disclosure here, Kelly, do you have a few extra pounds occasionally?
Oh, yeah. A couple kicking around.
So do I. I got my Buddha belly. So we're not talking about being model thin here, but what we're talking about is, and by the way, I've disclosed to people, I have a family of origin that, left unchecked, I would have absolutely been morbidly obese. I was on a trajectory to be morbidly obese. So the fact that I am at the high end of my healthy weight is a miracle. So in that sense, you're seeing the most authentic version of me to date, and that will continue. That will continue to come through and shine. So what is the authentic self? It's the version of you that's fully aligned with your core values. It's where your sense of esteem comes from, your sense of purpose. And when we talk about who you are at your core, it's your essence. It's the part of you that's always been there. It's intact. It's untarnished. And it's the part of you that is separate and distinct from the number on the scale or the image in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And that person is also irresistible and irrepressible. That's the phrase we love to use. There is nothing to fear in revealing this to others. It's not uncommon for new clients who start going through this process to get a little nervous, a little apprehensive about, well, if I start peeling back all these layers, what if people don't like, you know, what if I don't like what I find? What if others don't like what I put out there? my argument is, no, the layers that we're peeling back are that outward persona, the saxophone player hanging out in the band, that outward persona that you have taken on as either a coping mechanism or a way to kind of twist yourself into a pretzel to fit in. It's the mask that you wear. So there is nothing to fear in revealing the authentic self and getting down to that core of who you are. In fact, that's the most delicious journey there is. Kelly, I know you've done a lot of this work. What are some of your own liberations that you are living from now, from that authentic self? Think about who you were before when you were wearing those masks and who you are today.
Well, the mask I used to wear quite frequently was the mask of perfection and always remaining calm, cool, collected at all times.
Even though inside.
Never showing the messiness. And it was exhausting. So I'd go out to social gatherings or having a lunch with a friend and you just put this, oh, I'm calm, cool, nothing bothers me attitude on. And then you get home and you're just so exhausted because the mask can now come off and there's the messiness behind. So over the years and through the process, I've been able to get rid of that mask and realize that actually I am calm and cool and collected most of the time, but I can show the messiness too. And it's no big deal. And that's
it's all
part
of who
the
you
calmness.
Are. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It allows me to be calm knowing that the messiness is there and I will get back to the calm.
I loved what you said about energy because wearing those masks, switching them out, remembering which one you had on in the last situation, that's a lot of energy to manage that. And if I think about my own authenticity, it's my ability to be the same person in all interactions now. I'm not this consummate professional at work and I'm not this goofy friend at home. I am the goofy professional because it's all of me, right? The important thing about being able to put down the masks and let go of that outward persona is you're no longer slicing and dicing your personality. Your personality becomes unified again. And we like to say, keep that slicing and dicing for the kitchen.
Yes.
When we don't let go of the mask, when we're living from that outward persona, what happens is we are constantly validation seeking. Do you see me? Do you like me? Am I enough? Did I do it right? But when you're living from those core values, we can unify those aspects of ourselves that used to cause doubt or question or worry. Now, there's a lot of talk in the weight loss industry about self-love, but we want to challenge that with a question, and that is, who is this person you're trying to love? Nobody's asking that question. And you need to go beyond that cursory cheerleader or accountability type coaching. You need professional level coaching that is going to access those deeper parts of yourself. At the same time, we also want to encourage people to be cautious of taking your guidance from a coach who doesn't have their own 10 years of mastery on their own journey. You'll often recognize it because they're heavy on the teaching or the theory, but they're low on their own vulnerability or their own openness. And the one thing that we're really committed to in this podcast is telling the stories of our lives so that people can, gosh, feel normal.
Exactly.
But also recognizing that we've got those gifts and talents so that they can also recognize, hey, well, maybe I've got some of my own too, right? That I'm not recognizing.
Right.
You want to pick a coach that's got that 10 years of mastery. And weight loss is such a complex topic. It's not like other areas of coaching where you can kind of jump in and figure it out as you go. You really need to have done your own work before you can guide someone else. And we feel very strongly about that. And Kelly, you've seen me on my own messy, meandering odyssey. You saw me in those first 10 years and you've seen me over the last 10 years. So what have you noticed about myself and about conscious weight loss as it's evolved over the years?
I think getting to know you over the years and going through the process, it's been very refreshing to see how open you are with your own personal struggles and the willingness to share them with your client, because that ends up impacting how they show up. It almost gives them permission to be vulnerable and humble themselves as well. It makes you look normal. You're one of us. You're in the struggle in the trenches with us. You're not this model of perfection that we can't attain.
And you know what? I had to learn that from my own clients one day because they said to me, they said, I was doing a group session and they said, Kath, we love these nuggets that you share with us. But it's like you have your meltdowns, you distill them into these nuggets, you bring them back to us. But they said, you always bring them back in this very composed fashion. We never see the process. In other words, we don't see your messiness. And it was at that point, and I don't know how long ago, it was years ago that they said that to me. It was that point I realized not only was it okay, but it was necessary for me to start showing that vulnerability.
It makes you human.
It makes you human. Now, vulnerability, openness, those are hallmarks of authenticity. And that's not to be confused with oversharing. Because we've certainly seen lots of that in social media. But ultimately, if you're reaching for food, that's a big clue you're out of alignment. Because remember, we're talking about core values. We're talking about alignment ultimately. Now, clients can often pinpoint a particular point in their lives where this got amplified, that reaching for food got amplified. So we want everyone to think about that. Was there a point in time where that weight came on quickly? And my bet is there was something significant going on for you at that time. It could have been a major move, might have been a stressful job, a new relationship. Even if it's a great relationship, that's enough to kind of upset our scenarios. And interestingly enough, women who have a second child, because the first child, of course, we all know that mothers are champions of looking after themselves, the family, the child, everybody's needs. And they can generally hang on to a shred of themselves and all that with the first child. But when the second one comes along, all bets are off. That's when I will often see people coming to me when they can't seem to hold it all together in the same way. And frankly, they're not supposed to. They're supposed to invite some of that messiness in and allow some of that humanness to happen. When we talk about core values, we also want people thinking in terms of values that we express three distinct ways. Because we often think about a value of kindness. Yeah, we can be kind to others. But can you receive that? Can you give and receive that within yourself? Kel, what's a value that you really had to learn how to more fully align with?
Possibility has always been a big one for me. To me, it means seeing the bigger picture and thinking big. And I've always struggled with that. And the simple question of what do you want? I would always think small. Oh, well, do I deserve that? Do I deserve to think bigger?
And mine is championing. I love to champion others to greater things. And that's actually what we did early on in your coaching is, okay, well, that's great, Kel, but what if you get that? What else? What else? What else? So this idea of champion others, which is very easy for me to do, I'm just so fascinated and joyful when it comes to seeing others realize something that's important to them. But the idea of being championed by others, and I did have some coaches in the early stages that tried to do that for me, and I so wanted to hear their words, but I couldn't receive it. I couldn't receive it because I wasn't aligned with that yet. I am now, but I wasn't then. So I really had to learn how to express that, to receive it fully, but to also express that, receive it within me. Where are we heading with all these core values? What does it mean when you know yourself that well? Well, when you know yourself that deeply, there is no person or situation that can dictate anymore who you are or what you have to offer the world. Think about that for a second. How powerful a stance is that? Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about here is the inner work, not the happy accidents of losing some weight and feeling good about yourself. It's the inner work of knowing yourself, not just seeing yourself in the mirror, but knowing yourself deep down where you're really feeling at peace with who you've come to know and you're comfortable in your own skin and you have a sense of dignity. What I've found is that that's what clients want more even than weight loss. And yet the irony of it is that when they do that kind of work, that's when it leads to the weight loss they've never been able to achieve before. And I believe that was your experience too, to some degree.
Yes, for sure.
Ultimately, we deserve to be accepted and loved for who we really are. That's when weight loss is the icing, not the cake. When we finally realize that we deserve to be accepted and loved for who we are, our essence, that's when it clicks for us. So time for a break, and we'll get into some juiciness on the other side.
Who would you be if there was no internal struggle anymore? When you grasp the difference between the control paradigm you've been stuck in and the choice paradigm available to you, everything gets easier and your whole world expands. Go to consciousweightloss.com and get the free e-guide, The 3.5 Big Questions You Gotta Ask Yourself to Lose Weight. Find out how to make this paradigm shift. Who would you be if there was no internal struggle anymore? Everything you were always meant to be.
Let's continue. The written wisdom bite on the website will detail how to identify your core values. So we're not going to get into that here today in the discussion, but I do want to speak about the notion of core values. That's actually another gift that I've discovered about myself is I have the ability to identify core values and see people's essence very quickly. In fact, in 1 hour, I can tell you about the struggles that you've experienced to date and why, and how to align yourself towards joy going forward. 1 hour.
It's true.
And I love doing these core values so much that we actually pick randomly from our email list. And I'll spend an hour with someone from the email list and say, hey, look, let's just find out who you are. And we'll send them away with that core values list. And it's a life-changing thing when you know yourself at that level. Many people have been living from these values their whole life or trying to live from them, but they've never put words to them. So we encourage you to go to the Wisdom Bite on the website called Core Values to actually do the exercise. But if you're really keen to identify what those are, you can make sure that you're on the email list and maybe you'll get picked. Ultimately, when you do your core values, you'll end up with a list of about 10 really salient words. And that's what I call your core value mix. And it's as unique to you as a snowflake. It is your DNA. And I liken it to going to a grocery store with a cart, and we all have the same things to pick from. But the stuff that ends up on the conveyor belt at the end, that mix is absolutely unique to you. There's no two grocery carts that are alike. You and I might have the same chocolate bar in our grocery carts, but the stuff that surrounds it and goes with it. Oh, of course, you're going to have M&Ms in yours, right?
Yes. Peanut M&Ms.
Yes, we've established that by
Get
now.
It right.
Okay. So the core value mix is key. But there's another thing that I discovered in doing values work with clients, and that's the growth value. You know how we talked about the growth color in the temperament types? Well, in this case, we have a growth value, and it took me a few years to figure this out. Nobody taught me this. I just realized over time that there was always, in doing this exercise with clients, there was always a few words that ended up on the table that were a little uncomfortable for them. They would never have seen themselves that way, or they would never kind of call themselves out that way. Of course, values are always positive, right? They're not negative. These are the words that are less familiar to you, foreign, maybe even a bit cringeworthy. My own coach had to point out to me that I had a core value of joy. And I said, no, I don't. Very matter-of-factly. He's like, no, of course I don't. He said, yeah, Kath, that's why you have a core value of joy. It's not getting any oxygen right now. And of course, you know, I mean, how often have you given me literally physical joy gifts every Christmas?
There's another one coming.
I know. I'm looking forward to it. But the thing I want to say about the growth value is this is a tough one sometimes on your own to identify. But again, look for that most unfamiliar, foreign, even cringeworthy word. The thing about the growth value is it needs conscious oxygen. It needs conscious attention. It needs a chance to express in your life. And when you give it that, all I can say is over time, it will take on a power and meaning that you can't even fathom right now. I look back at my history and I can't fathom myself without joy now. And yet I lived for years up until that point without it. Joy is something that, and I don't live from here 24/7, don't get me wrong. But it's something that I am open to now and I welcome. And it turns out joy and goofiness go well together. Next, we have a newer client who's sharing her thoughts today.
Hi, everyone. It's Coach Rachel and I'm here today with Kim. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
We're here to talk a little bit about Kim's journey with conscious weight loss and the Wisdom Bite topic of core values. Thanks so much for being here today, Kim. Let's jump right in and get into the good stuff. What point are you at on your conscious weight loss journey? Are you just starting the process?
I am just starting the process. I think I'm about 5 weeks into the process. So I've worked through the awareness stage with Coach Kath, and we've just moved into the change stage, which I was reluctant to do. I was really happy to continue in awareness, and now we're going to move into actually putting some changes in place.
Yeah. But it's exciting too.
It is exciting.
What brought you to conscious weight loss? Where were you in life and what brought you to this process?
I think like many people, I was at the stage in life where a lot of things were going really well for me. I was feeling really good about where my children were at in their lives, where my career was at, where I was at personally in terms of my accomplishments. And the only thing that I could say I wasn't meeting my expectations was around my weight, my weight loss, not without trying. I had tried everything I could think of. and signed up for numerous plans and spent a great deal of money on other plans. And all of them would work for a time, usually about 3 or 4 months. And then I would end up back where I had been before. And I just felt like none of those things I was trying was getting to the heart of the matter. And so I came across Conscious Weight Loss and Coach Kath and thought, this looks like what I'm seeking, something that gets beyond the scale and looks at the heart of what this is about for me.
You're only 5 weeks in, but 5 weeks is a good way into the process. And I'm wondering, what have you garnered from the experience thus far, and where do you see it going for you?
I feel like I have already learned so much. I am a counselor and a therapist, so many of the things that Catherine is walking me through are things that perhaps I'm using, but from the other side. And so being the client is putting me through the thought process in my own life in a way that I haven't perhaps done before, or at least she's pushing me to go deeper than maybe I've done before. So I think that I'm definitely making new connections every day and coming to new awareness. And I'm just really excited for how this translates in the weeks ahead. How does this translate into practice? Because right now it's still a lot of working through things in my head. And now we're moving into that, making this a reality and using it in the day to day.
Well, let's get on to our Wisdom Bite topic, core values. So you've read this Wisdom Bite.
Yes.
And I'm interested to know how you would apply the core value wisdom into your own life.
Well, when I was exposed to this Wisdom Bite, it really made me think about what I value and my own list of core values. And one of the things that I noticed very clearly working through this lesson was that I really show up for other people in a way that I don't show up for myself. And showing up for others is actually one of my core values. I'll even shorten that to just showing up is one of my core values. And so when I was working through this Wisdom Bite and reading through Catherine's description, it was acutely obvious to me that I was the person, or I am the person, that sits with difficult things with other people and then perhaps doesn't sit with those same things with myself. And so if that means that I'm being really busy in order to avoid it, or going out of my way to fill my schedule, or volunteering for one thing after another, I'm showing up for others in all of these wonderful ways. And am I therefore resisting showing up for myself in that same way? This really struck me as I was working through this lesson.
Yeah. Just curiosity, have you, mulling over that, come up with any tactics for how to be there for yourself? How to show up for yourself?
Oh, well, that's how it's all going to come together, right? I think that I am just trying to make those changes, just at the start of those changes. And so Catherine has really been helping me to see that that can be very small steps, like maybe taking a lunch break a couple of times a week would be a big improvement.
Yeah.
Or doing some things that take care of my own needs, my own body, for example, doing some stretching during the day. So we're not looking at massive shifts. We're looking at the small, manageable changes that still honor who I am.
Definitely. That's amazing. You know, one of my favorite pulls from the Wisdom Bite was, living and breathing your core values affords you recognition of your uniqueness and honoring of your essence. Mm. And that spoke to me more than anything else, because really, just rephrasing what you said, it's so easy for us to give to others and show up in a really fantastic way for other people in other areas in our life. Not even people necessarily, sometimes just our work ethic. But we don't stop to honor that process, honor ourselves for even being a part of that process. It's
right.
Just like being a showing up machine.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. And well, then Catherine has really taught me that feels out of alignment then, right? I'm not in alignment with my values if I'm not cherishing my own needs, and I'm rushing around trying to meet everybody else's needs first and balance everything that they need. And that puts me out of alignment with myself and out of alignment with the authentic person I want to be.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I want to thank you so much for sharing. I have a last final question for you, and that would be, in a word or a phrase, how would you describe Coach Kath?
Oh, goodness. I just feel like we've already become friends in such a short time. I feel like we have a real openness with one another that developed very quickly. So I think she's extremely accessible and open and non-judgmental and just gets it. She absolutely gets it.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much, Kim. I really appreciate you being here with me today and talking about core values with me.
Thanks. My pleasure.
Take care.
Cherishing our own needs. What a concept.
Yes, absolutely. The biggest takeaway for me was the statement about showing up for others in a way that we don't show up for ourselves. And I can totally relate to that because I was the person who was the caretaker and was so outwardly focused on other people that I made myself believe that it was selfish to look at and take care of myself. I had that martyr syndrome, you know, I've got to look after everybody else, and not doing that is selfish. But what I came to realize is if you don't look after yourself first, you don't have energy. You can't properly look after others and give them what they deserve even, which is all of you.
Yes. We like to say, don't give them a pale version. Give them the fullest, brightest, most aligned
the
version.
Brightest.
Yeah. Beautiful. And we didn't come up with this notion of take care of yourself first. Lots of people said that before us. We just want to acknowledge that that whole martyrdom syndrome is more prevalent than a lot of people realize. Guess what? It's normal. So, Kel, I've got this thick client file on you that goes back to September of 05.
Wow.
I should have pulled it out today so I could show you. My fingers here are about 2 inches apart here.
That's big.
That's how thick it is. We've been coaching for a long time. I mean, we're not doing that anymore. But that's how we started through that coaching relationship, eventually blossomed into a friendship. So here's some of your core values. I was looking through your file and I came up with some of your core values. And I didn't share this with you earlier. So these are coming fresh and you haven't heard them since 2005.
No, since we and did I'm, them I'm in curious. 2005.
Well, I'm curious to see how much of these are still relevant for you today. Okay, so close your eyes and listen.
Okay.
Connection, freedom, new, social, community. Accomplishment, security, energy, practicality, purpose, resourceful, destiny, ownership, optimism, wisdom, ethical, trust, caring. Now, they all sound pretty delicious. And yes, we have way more than 10 here because this is not a cold list. Right. But do you recognize, say, your top 10 in there somewhere?
Yeah, at least 7 of them.
Wow.
Showed up when I just did them the other day.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
So you've got your list at your side that I haven't even seen.
Yep.
And 7 of them are in this list that we did originally.
Yes.
How cool is that?
And in fact, the first one that you said, connection, that is one of the biggest ones for me.
Wow. That's indicative of core values. And that is when we identify, when we put words to our core values, those words are pretty solid. We are going to carry them with us through life. We might rejig them a little bit. We might trade them out for a more powerful word at some point. Mm-hmm. But the essence, what they represent to us, remains pretty true throughout life. Is that what you found?
Yes, I would totally agree with that. And how you say sometimes we find a stronger word.
Yes.
And I think that's what I've done when I'm listening to those. Yep. And I'm envisioning myself back in 2005 and thinking, yeah, I'm not surprised I said that. And now I've dialed it up a notch in my new list.
And that's the cool thing
really
is
cool.
Core values are going to change less dramatically than, say, your temperament type, your personality traits. But they will deepen. They will deepen with those more powerful words. Some of my core values are things like natural, energy, evolution, compassion, intuition, innovation, teaching, wisdom, balance. If I had to pick one amongst all of those that is quite important and meaningful to me, and this could change over time, but right now it's intuition. That's the one that pops out. By the way, if you've got a list of your core values and you're wondering, what's that most important and meaningful one? Look for the one that your eye keeps coming back to, that your mind keeps saying over and over again. That's a clear indication that that's got some juice for you. Intuition for me, when I first kind of was introduced to it in my coach training, it's a very powerful technique in coaching. I just saw it as woo-woo. I was like, no, I'm into knowledge and wisdom and logic and practicality. And they said, no, it can be all that. It can be something that you incorporate into your interactions with people. So I didn't trust it at the beginning when I sort of categorized it as woo-woo. And now that I have sort of played with it more and I trust it more and I speak what's on my mind, I spit out what's on my tongue, that's really my intuition speaking. And I see soul and intuition, same thing. Future self, soul, intuition, all the same thing. Now that intuition is a big part of the work that I do. So I might be coaching a client and from purely intuition, I'll say something and they'll respond with, funny you should say that, right? So I get that a lot. So to wrap things up, to every new client that we work with, to every new listener who joins us, we see and coach your essence. And to us, that is the beautiful, slimmer you in every interaction we have with you. And she or he is as real to us as the body you might currently see in the mirror. And the other thing I want to mention is slimmer is relative. Slimmer is not about being model thin. It's not about society thin. It's if you've done the work and your body is aligning in a better, more powerful way, there's no destination you have to get to. There's no number on the scale you have to be. What we really want to do is get you to recognize that essence and just know that the rest of it will align. The rest of it will come into alignment with that. Make sense?
Yes.
Beautiful. And so concludes our most delicious topic of core values. Okay. Thanks for listening. And remember, you can read up on the Wisdom Bite we were discussing today at wisdombites.com. To your wellness, Coach Kath.
Bigger life, smaller body. You've been listening to the Conscious Weight Loss Podcast with Katherine Brown. If you'd like more personal help from Coach Kath and the team, you can find out more about them at consciousweightloss.com. While you're there, be sure to get the free e-guide, The 3.5 Big Questions You Gotta Ask Yourself to Lose Weight. Set yourself up for weight loss success better than ever before.